I'm going to speak to you today on the subject, Four Things Learned in the Time of Trouble. Now, if you want to know something about trouble and severe trial and sorrow, you turn to the book of Job. Job was a man of God who was greatly troubled, perhaps as no other man in this world has ever been tried. He was tried of God. Job lost everything. I want to read you a few statements that he made. First of all, from the 16th chapter of Job, verse 11 and 12. Job said, God hath delivered me to the ungodly, and God hath turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. And then in the 19th chapter of Job, writing about his sorrow and his trials, he said this, God hath stripped me of my glory. God hath taken the crown from my head. God hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. All my friends hate me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. And then writing about his trial and his sorrow, in chapter 23, he had this to say, I go forward, and God is not there. And I go backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Here was a man who was greatly troubled and greatly tried of God. And yet there are three things that are true of Job through these trials. Now let's point them out, and then we'll go into the heart of the message. My subject, and I'd like for you to listen to this message carefully. My subject today is four things that we should learn in time of trouble. But by way of introducing the message and getting into the heart of the subject, let me point out three things about Job's troubles and his trials. First of all, he didn't try to hide his sorrow. He didn't try to hide his grief. He wept. It said, Job rent his mantle or tore his clothes. That was a sign of great grief. And he shaved his head and he wept before God. And that's no sin to mourn. It's no sin to weep. It's no sin to sorrow. We sorrow as those, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope, but we do sorrow. And God's people are people with tender hearts. God takes away the heart of stone, but he does not give us a heart of stone. And we're called upon to bear the rod, and we feel it. We're called upon to bear the burden and suffer trial, and we feel that burden. Paul said that. He said, I have great heaviness of heart. I have continual sorrow. This was a man who knew God, who walked with God, and yet he wrote, I have great sorrow and heaviness of heart for my brethren according to the flesh. Peter said something about that. He said, if need be, you are in heaviness through many or manifold temptations or trials. And though we see the hand of God and the purpose of God and the providence of God in all things that come into our lives, the good and the bad, the success and the failures, yet we do not grow hard and callous against these trials. We still feel the pain. We still carry the burden. We still bear the sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. So we see Job, when these trials came upon him, he wept. He went into great sorrow and mourning before God. He grieved. And the second thing I notice is this. A believer's sorrow should be sanctified by worship. Now, when Job had received the sad news of the destruction of everything that he had, all of his camels, all of his oxen, all of his cattle, all of his children, 10 children had been killed all at the same time, all of his possessions, when he received the news that all of these things were gone, he rent his clothes, he shaved his head, but he fell down and worshiped. He didn't murmur against God. He didn't complain. He didn't find fault with the providence of God, but he fell on his face. The scripture says he fell to the ground and worshiped God. He didn't compare his lot with others. He didn't say, well, why is this happening to me? I've tried to live right. I've tried to do right. I've tried to worship God. And here's a man down the street who makes no pretense at all of worshiping God, who never gives any of his time to God. And yet he prospers and he's getting along fine and his family is well and healthy now. God, why did this happen to me? Job didn't do that. He didn't murmur. He didn't complain. He didn't find fault with the providence of God. And he didn't compare his lot with someone else's. But it said he fell down and worshiped. He didn't charge God foolishly. That is, he didn't charge God with foolishness. He didn't complain about injustice. But he worshiped. He worshiped. If grief presses you to the ground, then worship right there. If sorrow and trial has laid you low, then worship right there. If floods of sorrow weigh you down, worship right there. Praise God. That's what Job did. Now, he wept. He felt every lash. He felt every pain. He felt every burden. He felt every loss. And he grieved and he mourned and he wept before God. But he did not murmur, nor did he complain. He praised the Lord. He worshiped God. Now, the third thing, and this will move us right into our text. Not only should the time of trouble be a time of worship, but it should be a time of teaching. It should be a time to learn. Job thought so. For if you look carefully at verses 21 and 22, you'll find Job considering four things. Now, David, if you read the book of Psalms, you'll find David talked to himself. That's right. He examined himself and he talked to himself. Here's an example in Psalm 42, verse 5. David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? He's asking himself that question. That's scriptural. The Bible says, let a man examine himself, whether he be in the faith. Examine yourself. Know ye not your own self? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. When you come to the Lord's table, examine yourself. Do you properly discern the broken bread? Do you properly understand the shed blood? Do you understand these things? Do you discern the Lord's body? Examine yourself. And David did that. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope in God. There's no reason for you to be downcast and despondent and depressed. Hope in God. Why, he said, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And here Job, weeping, broken, burdened, and yet worshiping God. And while he's worshiping God, he's learning something. And Job learned four things through this terrible experience. The scripture tells us that a messenger came running in and said, the Sabaeans fell upon your oxen and your donkeys and your property and destroyed them and killed your servants and everything's gone. I'm the only one who escaped. And while he was yet speaking, another one came running in and said, well, the Chaldeans fell upon your camels and upon your cattle and all your servants and they're all dead. And I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, another messenger ran in and said, your seven sons and three daughters were all having a party at your oldest boy's house, and a tornado came and tore the house down, and they're everyone dead. I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you. And the scripture says, Job rent his clothes and shaved his head and fell down and worshiped God and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, and in all of this, Job charged God not with being foolish or being unjust. Now, there are four things that Job learned, and I need to learn them, and you need to learn them. And it's good if we can learn them without terrible trial, but usually we can't. But here's the four things to learn in time of trouble. Number one, Job learned the extreme brevity of human life. how short it is. He said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. In other words, he's saying, I came and I shall return. I came from the womb of Mother Earth, and I shall return. Dust thou art, to dust returneth. This was Job's idea of life. I came and I shall go. I heard an interesting story last week while I was away in a meeting. Said a man was standing on the corner, just standing there enjoying the view, enjoying the sunshine. And he was an elderly man, and a friend walked up to him, and they were talking, and the friend said, say, I've got a question. What is life? What is life? And the old man stood there for a moment and just looked at him, and then he turned and walked away. Well, the next day, the friend met this old gentleman, and he said, say, he said, yesterday I asked you a question, and you didn't answer me. And the old man said, oh, but friend, I did answer your question. I did. The friend said, no, you didn't. You didn't answer my question. I asked you the question, what is life? And you were here, and then in a moment, you were gone. And the old man said, that was my answer. You asked me what was life, and that's what life is. We're here for the moment, and then we're gone. My friends, I see life as a procession. I see life as a procession. I see my family and my friends as they walk by. They come, they're here, and many of them are gone. And others come on behind them, and they're here, and they're gone. And then new ones come along, and they're here. But the difficult thing for us to see, you and me too, it's difficult for us to see ourselves in that procession. We see our friends come and they die and they're gone. You know, Job said, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, blooming today, enjoyed today, fragrant today. Tomorrow he's gone. He cometh forth like a shadow. He fleeth and continueth not. This is life. I came, Job said, and I shall leave. I came, I'm here for a moment, and then I shall be gone. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Our Lord said, this is an appointment that every person must keep, the appointment to die. And you and I are marching, and our hearts are beating. Someone said, a funeral march to the grave. Life is so short, so brief. And Job learned that. He said, naked I came, and naked I shall return. Now, the second thing he learned. Job learned, secondly, the frailty of earthly possessions. Naked I came out of my mother's womb. I had nothing. And naked I shall return. Job had nothing when he was born. Nothing at all. Nothing at all to his name. But he lived to accumulate great wealth. He lived to accumulate great possessions. He lived to accumulate a large family. And now here he is with nothing. It's all gone. Naked. Naked. Naked I came, and naked I shall return. Why is it so difficult for you and me to learn that all of earth's possessions and all of earth's relationships are temporary? Why is it so hard for us to learn that these things are not ours to keep? They're loaned to us for a little while. We can enjoy them for a little while, but they're not permanent possessions. They're just ours for the brief time, not even the whole time that we're here. We have to surrender many of them even before the end of life. But naked I came, and naked I shall return. The rich young ruler was lying on his bed one night, contemplating his great riches. And he considered his fields of corn and fields of wheat and fields of grain. And he said, now I think tomorrow I'll lay plans to tear down these barns that I have. They're all full anyway and they're too small. I think I'll just tear down these barns and build bigger barns because I'm going to have a good harvest this year. And I'll build some bigger barns to take care of all these things that I possess. But the Lord said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall these things be that you've accumulated? Who shall they be? Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. I came with nothing, and that's the way I'm going to leave. And these things that I accumulate here on this earth is just like so much clay that we accumulate on our feet walking through a freshly plowed field. Did you ever walk through a field that's just been plowed, muddy? And as you walk through, you started out walking pretty good, but the more you walk, the more stuff you got, the clay you got accumulated on your feet, and that makes it harder and harder to walk. There was a fellow sitting one time, a believer, a man who knew God, was sitting in his living room one day. His pastor was there visiting with him, and his friends were sitting around, his children, his wife and his grandchildren, and he had good health, and everything was going his way. He just was living comfortably and luxuriously and had his family and his children, his wife and his pastor and his brethren and all his friends there in his home, and they were having such a nice visit, and the man got real quiet. And in a moment, he looked at his pastor, and this is what he said. "Ah, pastor, these are the things that make it hard to die. These are the things that make it hard to die." Well, God made it easier for Job, didn't he? He took these things away. And it may be that God will have to do that to one of us in order to teach us to put the right emphasis on the right things, to order our affections aright. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If you be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth." Nothing you have and no relationship that you enjoy here on this earth will abide. It's all going to pass away. Now, I'm not talking about the relationship we have in Christ. I'm talking about these earthly relationships. And these things are frail. They're but soap bubbles. They're but toys. And Job one day had everything. Good health, big family, wealth, possessions. And the next day he was totally naked. He had nothing. And he learned the frailty of earthly possession. The third thing, now I want you to get this. Job saw the hand of God in everything. He said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Listen to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. "The Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, the Lord maketh rich. The Lord bringeth low, the Lord lifteth up. The Lord raiseth the poor out of the dust and the beggar out of the dunghill." Job didn't look at his fine clothes and his big house and his large fields and his cattle and say, "I earned all this." He said, "The Lord gave it." He didn't look at all these possessions and say, "This is the product of hard work." That's what proud human nature says. "I'm a self-made man. I did all this. I deserve this. I earned it. I applied myself." No, he didn't. He said, "The Lord gave." That's the lesson he learned. The Lord gave. All that I have physically, good health, happiness, all that I have materially is the gift of God. And all that you have is the gift of God. I don't care if you're a believer or unbeliever, if you're a church member or non-church goer, if you believe in God or you're an atheist, the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. You're just borrowing it for a while. You're just using it. God gave it to you. God Almighty gave. Who maketh thee to differ? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if you received it, why do you brag and boast as if you didn't receive it? God gave it. The Lord gave, Job said. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Lord. All that I have spiritually is the gift of God. My Savior is the gift of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is eternal life, that you might know God and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent, And this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. And the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Repentance is the gift of God. Paul wrote, the goodness of God led you to repentance. God hath granted repentance to the Gentiles. Faith's the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is the gift of God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of it. It originated with him. He gave it. He's the source of faith. He's the object of faith. God Almighty gave his Son to die for our sins. All that I have physically, all that I have materially, all that I have spiritually is the gift of God Almighty. The Lord gave. And Job learned that the Lord taketh away. Now here's something you need to hear. The Sabaeans fell upon the ox and the asses and destroyed them and the servants. The Chaldeans made off with the camels and with the cattle. The tornado killed his children. Now, you know what response you and I would have given to that? You know the response old human nature would have made? Oh, those wicked Sabaeans. Let's get an army together and trail them and track them and find them and destroy them. Oh, those wicked Chaldeans. They shouldn't be allowed to live on this earth. Let's find them and murder them like they murdered my servant. Oh, that terrible wind, that horrible wind. I heard a preacher say on television one day, he said, now these tornadoes and hurricanes and things, disasters, God's not in that. Now, don't you ever think that for a moment. God is the first cause of all things. There may be second causes and maybe third causes and fourth causes, but there's nothing that takes place in this earth and in this universe that's not under the hand of God Almighty and in the permissive will of God Almighty. God didn't go off somewhere and open him an office and let this world go to hell. Almighty God's the first cause of all things. He hasn't deserted his creation. He's the Lord of creation. And all things are in the permissive or directive will of God. Yes, Satan was the second cause. He brought these things to pass. Because God turned Job over to Satan. He said, now he's in your hand, but don't you put your hand on him. Do what you want to with his property and with his possession, but don't touch him. And then God turned Job over to Satan and said, all right, you can afflict him, but you can't kill him. You see, God's the first cause of all things. And that's what Job said. He said, he learned the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. If you can learn that, you can find some comfort. And you learn that in the darkest valley, you can find some joy. If you learn that in the deepest trial, you can praise God. Aaron did. If you'll read Leviticus 10:3, you'll find that his sons brought strange fire and burned it before the Lord, and God slew them. And the scripture says in Leviticus 10:3, Aaron held his peace because God did it. He kept his mouth shut. Because God did it. And then David said in Psalm 39:9, when he went through a great catastrophe, he said, I open not my mouth because God did it. And then when God told Samuel that he was going to destroy Eli's family, Eli said, well, it's the Lord, let him do what he will. Now that's the place for us to come if we believe in God. It's the Lord, let him do what he will. Now the fourth thing. Job learned the brevity of life. Job learned the frailty of earthly possessions. Job learned the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And then Job saw that the Lord was to be praised in all things. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. God is to be praised in a wedding or a funeral. God is to be praised in birth or death. God is to be praised in sickness or health. God is to be praised in success or failure. God is to be praised in poverty or plenty. God is to be praised in summer or winter. If you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, you'll find Paul saying this. He said, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Give thanks. It doesn't matter if it's a severe blow or if it's a touch of prosperity. Thank God for it. because that's the will of God for you at that present time. Do you want the will of God done? It's going to be done, but do you want it done? Our Lord said, when you pray, whatsoever you ask in my name, according to my will, it shall be done. And you can't pray the prayer that the Lord gave to the disciples without closing it this way: thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Thy will be done. All right? Then when something comes to pass in your life, whether you understand it or not, whether it's good or bad, whether you can appreciate it or not, praise the Lord. Give thanks, because this is the will of God for you. In time of sorrow, go ahead and weep. Cry your eyes out. Mourn before God. God didn't give you a hard heart, but a tender heart. But times of trouble is a time for worship, praising the Lord. And it's a time to learn something. And it's time to learn that this life will soon be over. And all these things we have in our grasp now, we got to let go of them sooner or later. And the Lord gave them anyway. They're His to take when He pleases. And in all of this, Job didn't charge God with foolishness, but he praised the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You want this message on cassette tape, you write to me. The address will be given at the close of the broadcast. And there's two sermons on each one of these tapes, and we'd be happy to send them to you for a small charge. You write to me. The address is to follow. Till next week, I bid you a very pleasant good day.